They're hopeful that March Madness set a really good precedent for their baseball programs. 14 of the 16 teams reached that field. They think that there should be similar results on the baseball side too.
Well, hey guys, welcome into Hot Sheet. Yeah, you may not recognize me. I'm pinch hitting. My name's Kelsey Wingert Lynch alongside JJ Cooper and Carlos Collazo. You know them very, very well. Excited to be here with you guys. This is fun to be able to join y'all. My husband, I told you, is a big fan. We're big in the prospect world. So if you're watching, make sure that you guys are active in the YouTube comments. We'll see them. We'll post them. We'll talk about them. Like and subscribe while you're there as well. It always helps out everything that they're doing at Baseball America. And there are three things out before we get started into the episode that we want to make sure that you guys know about. There is the new mock draft that you guys just came out with. We're going to talk a little bit about who you guys put at number one. Carlos, I know you've had some conversations about it on some other shows, so I'm curious to get your take on where you guys landed there. You have this week's prospect hot sheet and the SEC power rankings coming out tomorrow. You just released the top 25, a new number one. We'll get into that as well. So guys, lots to cover today from all different levels, so let's go ahead and hit the first move. Okay, Seth Hernandez. Carlos, this is a guy that you've talked a ton about. He just passed the test, you could say, as the National High School Invitational, or he threw a complete game, 11 strikeouts. And when you look at this draft is pretty wide open. There's not a consensus 1-1. We haven't seen a high school right-handed pitcher go first overall ever. But curious to see, after the body of work we've seen this season, and then with what Seth was able to do on such a big stage, kind of where that solidified him for you.
Yeah, it was a very big test. There were a ton of scouts to watch him at the National High School Invitational last week, USA Baseball's big high school tournament that is always loaded with prospects. As you said, he threw a complete game, 11 punchouts, one walk. He sat 94-99 miles per hour, 94-98, and touched 99 in his final frame. So I think that we do have a real opportunity to see the first high school right-handed pitcher ever go 1-1 in this draft, because Seth Hernandez is such an outlier talent at the demographic, and because we also have a draft class that is very muddled at the top. I think teams in a vacuum would love to have college hitters that offer both upside, safety, and proximity. This year, it doesn't look like we have those sort of profiles at the top. And so, at least for my money, I think Seth Hernandez has the most pure upside in the class. In our latest mock draft that just came out today, Monday morning, I have Seth Hernandez 1-1 to the Nationals. I do not think it is a situation where he is like the obvious favorite at this point. I think if you talk with teams around the industry, teams picking inside the top 10, the Nationals at the very top, they will tell you it is wide open. There are a lot of players being considered. But I think Seth Hernandez has made as much of a statement, and as he has momentum behind him after this outing, if that makes sense. He has all the tools that fit at 1-1 in this year's class. And with no one really running away with it on the college side, he's as well positioned as we've seen from a high school right-handed pitcher in years.
And JJ, with where the Nationals are at in their current rebuild, I don't even know if you call it much of a rebuild anymore. This is a team that has a lot of talent up in the big leagues, but do you think that they can be patient enough to give Seth the time that he would need to develop? Do you think that's the one thing that could hinder them from taking him 1-1 outside of us not seeing high school right-handed pitchers go at that spot?
It's a reasonable thing to wonder, because as much as we may look at where Seth Hernandez is now, and you could say, hey, in some ways, if you compare him to the college pitchers in this class, he might be as ready in some ways. Like, mm-hmm. If you look at the quality of his fastball, you look at the quality of his secondaries, especially that changeup, and he's got a pretty good breaking ball too. You could say that you don't have to project them a lot. But that being said, like, we're looking at Hunter Green right now. Hunter Green has been one of the best pitchers in baseball so far this year. Hunter Green had a great season last year. Hunter Green was a 2017 draftee. And by the way, he also threw 100. He also was an athletic shortstop, right-handed pitcher. So it is reasonable to say that a lot of these times, even if you hit on a high school pitcher at the top of the draft, you're going to have to wait a little while, right? And so that is true. But I do think that if you're the Nationals, you'd kind of evaluate it on the talent. Like, but part of that equation can be a little bit how, you know, you get a little bit of a proximity bonus, right? Like when in an era where we're seeing, you know, draftees, first rounders from last year already in the big leagues, when you're seeing other guys like Nick Kurtz who are knocking on the door, when you see Paul Skenes, who pretty much stepped to the front of the Pirates rotation less than a year after he was drafted. If you take a high school pitcher 1-1, you have to be thinking that you're probably talking at minimum probably more of a 4 or 5 year timetable. Some guys can really exceed that, but it doesn't happen very often. And realistically, if you said 7 years, that's kind of been in a lot of cases for very successful high school pitchers taken in the first round. It's about that year 6, year 7 that everything seems to click for them.
Yeah. Hunter Green debuting in 2022, and it wasn't really until last year we saw him reach that potential that we assumed he could get to. But we also had this conversation earlier when we met, and Carlos, I'm curious to get your take on it. If Seth was Steven Strasburg, the Nationals would do that again, right?
100%. And if Seth was Steven Strasburg, I don't think there would be a whole lot of discussion about the uncertainty at the top of the draft. Steven Strasburg was a very clear, unanimous number one prospect. I think the fact that he did it in college just took away a little bit of the risk that's associated with high school players in general and high school pitchers in particular. The Nationals have had a few really nice years picking at the top where they really didn't have to think too much. Steven Strasburg, Bryce Harper, even Dylan Cruz in 2023 when they weren't picking in the one hole. This year, they're going to have a lot more debates on who is the top player in the class. But I think to your point, it is very difficult to find a top of the rotation frontline starting pitcher. This year, you might have to take on a little more risk than you would like to get that sort of upside and that sort of talent. But I do think Seth Hernandez has the velocity. He has the elite 70 grade changeup. He has got the potential to add a breaking ball and improve that pitch in the future. He has innate feel to spin that pitch. He has command. JJ mentioned the athleticism in the two-way element that players like Hunter Green and Bubba Chandler, who we'll get into a little bit later, have offered at the high school level. Seth Hernandez has all of that. So you can dream on a number one type pitcher with Seth Hernandez. And if you're looking around this draft class, finding another player with that sort of upside, I'm not sure that you can feel confident that you're going to get it. So if you think that that's the sort of upside potential Seth provides, I think he should be the number one pick.
I want to dive a little bit more into those two names you guys brought up right after a quick word from our friends at Foul Territory.
Todd Father, I'm looking for premium clothes at an affordable price. I want it to fit nice. I want it to make all the features that we want to point out look nice. And I want softness.
Yes.
What do I do?
You hit up True Classic. I mean, these shirts that I have on right now, not only is it fitting and it's soft, it makes my arms look a little bigger too as well. The comfort is all I ask for in clothing, and that's the biggest part. And this is what they have. The jeans are comfortable too as well. Everything that you put on right now from True Classic is special. It's something I'm going to buy in all different colors.
It's 100% perfect fit guarantee, easy returns, free shipping on all orders. And whether you're bundling up for the cold or you're getting ready for spring, you can level up your style with clothes that actually fit right. Just go to the FT exclusive link. That's trueclassic.com/foul to save. trueclassic.com/foul. Shop now and elevate your wardrobe today with trueclassic.com/foul.
Okay, I want to tie a bow on that, the conversation that we just had, because if you have any doubts about what the success of a high school right-handed pitcher could do, you guys brought up two great names to look at in Hunter Green and Bubba Chandler. How much do you think, for either of you guys, the success that we've seen from them can lean teams towards a Seth Hernandez in a draft where there's not a 1-1 clearly, you know, out there?
I'll start by just saying, I do think that, you know, there's long been kind of studies that have shown kind of the risk of taking a high school right-hander at the top of the draft. And I think that we're very much in what I would say is an era where teams are really cautious, really averse about doing that in a way that they weren't, you know, 20 plus years ago. I would say that if you go back a decade, we were kind of in the Tyler Kolek, Riley Pint era, where they were at the top of the draft, two guys who threw really hard, and Pint did make the majors brief, you know, but really kind of hasn't had a standout career. Kolek never made the majors. Kolek really lost his fastball pretty quickly in pro ball. He didn't seem to bring it to the pro schedule of once every 5 days in the way that he did when he was once every 7 days. So you could say like, okay, well, see, these are the examples of why you don't do this. But since then, in the era where teams are really, really hesitant to take a pitcher, a high school pitcher at the top of the draft, now we have the Hunter Green, you know, from 2017, who is the player to be at the top five picks. There are a lot of college guys at the top of that draft. He's been better than all of them. You look at Jackson Jobe. You look at, you know, when we talk about Bubba Chandler now, there haven't been that many high school right-handers who've gone top 10, even top 15. But Carlos, the ones that do, the ones that have in recent years, it seems like a lot of times those are the picks that teams are pretty happy that they did, because I feel like you have to be so good as a high school right-hander that is kind of like, okay, these guys almost force you to take them at some point.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's a little bit of a selection bias. If you're in the conversation to go top five, odds are you've cleared a lot of the hurdles that teams are a bit wary of. And I think with both Hunter Green in that 2017 class and Jackson Jobe in the 2021 class are great examples and maybe representative of what we're dealing with Seth Hernandez in this class in particular, because I think all the talents are pretty comparable between those three high school right-handed pitchers. But the demographics of those classes, 2017 was a fairly muddled group at the top end. The 2021 group was another class with no clear player. If you redrafted both of those classes, I think Hunter Green for sure is the guy you're taking 1-1 in hindsight. And I think Jackson Jobe has a really compelling case to be the 1-1 in that class as well. So if you have a draft where you're kind of looking around and you're wanting more from the college hitters, or you're wanting more from the college pitchers, and there's no obvious like Bobby Witt Jr. type high school bat, it makes a lot of sense to just go with the guy who really excites you, even though historically the demographic is a little scary. And to your point about flame throwing pitchers, I think it is often maybe forgotten about how good of a pure pitcher Seth Hernandez actually is. He's not someone who just throws really hard. He knows what he's doing on the mound. He commands the fastball. He has advanced pitch ability. And I think that is going to afford him other avenues to find success in pro ball. It's not going to be a case where if he loses a little bit of the fastball, he's cooked. He can do a lot of things on the mound. He's got the athleticism and the projection to get really excited about what he's going to look like in a few years as well.
Yeah, a lot of good points. We do have a fan question that's watching in the chat. Does Detroit continue to go high school heavy? What do you guys
think? Last 2 years, they've been one of the more aggressive teams, I would say, at the top of the draft in terms of just high school hitters. It seems like they really want advanced pure hitters on the high school side. So in this most recent mock draft, I do have them tied to a high school hitter. It's Slater DeBrun, who is a very well-rounded prepster out of Oregon. I think there are going to be a number of options for them in the 20s here that makes sense, both on talent and with just the traits they've targeted in the past. Mark Connor, scouting director over there at Detroit, previously worked with San Diego, which is also another one of the most high school heavy clubs that you'll see. So I think it makes a ton of sense for them to stick with that demographic. Some of those picks have looked really good in the last few years. So I definitely wouldn't be surprised at all if they stuck with the high school demographic.
I would just say that, you know, with them, the one thing to watch for is they're almost always going to look at pure hit tools. Like if they're going to take a position player, they consistently like guys who are pure hitters, and that's really worked out well with them, not just with the Max Clarks, but you know, you look at Kevin McGonigal, you look back at the, you know, Colt Keefs and all, like it's something where they're a little bit more willing to take, I feel like, a lot of times a little bit of risk on you know, what the ultimate position fit is going to be. They're okay with that. You know, you've seen that with Jace Young as well. They want hitters. They want pure hitters, and they have done a very good job of kind of getting a lot of those guys to the big leagues.
Hiring has changed. When we have an opening, we need a way to organize what quickly becomes a very complicated process. That's why we need Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is how it makes hiring so fast, because it organizes the candidates and allows me to set up every step of the process right within Indeed's website. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no reason to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Just go to Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that fan question. Remember, if you just keep interacting with us on in the comments in here, and we'll be able to get to those as they come. But it's time for our player to watch, presented by FanDuel Sports Network, a name that we've already brought up, a name that you guys have brought up a ton and that you will continue to bring up because we're bound to see him soon, is Bubba Chandler. And you guys have mentioned this. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. This is a guy who hit 101.5 miles per hour yesterday, the fastest pitch thrown in Major League Baseball and AAA this season by a starting pitcher. He's sitting 98-99. We've continued to see that velocity rise the past couple of years. And some other numbers that stand out about his start yesterday: 71% strikes. He induced a 46% whiff rate on his four-seam fastball. What more does Bubba Chandler have to do to get the call from the Pirates, who aren't going out there and lighting the world on fire right now and have had some injuries in their rotation?
The main thing is to build up the pitch counts a little bit. They've been very cautious with him so far. He's yet to throw more than 61 pitches in any of his first three starts. So, and let's just say, like, when we're talking about he's thrown as hard as Hunter Green. Now, he did do that 101.5 in the fourth, so I don't want to make it sound like he went out in the first, blew it out, and then the velo dropped off. He was throwing hard in the entirety of his start yesterday. But the one thing that you could say is, you know, he's got to get stretched out a little bit. He's not there on that yet. But what I love about this, and Carlos, I want to, you know, hear more from you, because you were kind of there watching the rise of Bubba, you know, in the high school ranks and the draft and all. But he was a guy who was like 93, 94, touching a 7 in high school. And then that next year, it's like, okay, that velo went up a little bit more. And now you see him kind of getting that 7 a little bit more. 2023, he's touching a 7, but he's doing a little bit more consistently. And then you get to 2024, and it's like, okay, here's now a you know, you're going to see a 99, you know, every now and then. But that's kind of where he maxed out. And here now he's sitting 98, 99 so far this year. And we've gotten 100s, 101s out of him as well. It's like just been that very steady, continual improvement to truly top of the top tier velocity to go with. Again, the fastball is not just velo. It's movement, it's location. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things that he's doing very well right now.
Yeah, the fastball seems like almost ideal in terms of the shape that analysts are really chasing. But looking back at Bubba Chandler's development, I think it's so interesting to think of him as a high school player. He was a multi-sport, multi-position athlete. He played shortstop and pitcher. He was a legitimate shortstop prospect at the pro ranks. He was committed to Clemson for both baseball and football, really talented football player as well. And I think just being patient with these players and looking at what they do now and what they do well, and this sort of physical tools they have that are going to allow them to improve. Bubba Chandler flashed really exciting fastball velocity in high school. He flashed a high spin breaking ball. The command and the consistency of that breaking ball were not always there in high school. His changeup was fairly raw at the time, but you could see how easy he did it on the mound. The delivery was loose and free. He had tons of arm speed. And then as he's focused more on pitching only, not worrying about football, not worrying about hitting, he has made strides seemingly year over year. The control has gotten better. His command and feel to land the slider and have that be a more effective pitch. I think actually in high school, it was more of a curveball most of the time that he was throwing. But developing that pitch, landing it more consistently, showing the changeup a bit more frequently as a real legitimate secondary offering last season. Now the fastball velocity is jumping even more. I mean, he checks pretty much all the boxes you're looking for. The control has improved year over year. It was pretty erratic and scattered early on in his career, and now that is coming together as well. So when teams want to dream on these multi-sport, multi-positional athletes, Bubba Chandler is what they're hoping they get.
Yeah, that stuff just continues to get better and better for him. And there was the text message that he sent to Paul Skeens. Did y'all see that when Paul Skeens was named the opening day starter? And he shot a text to him saying, he said, it's going to be tough next year when you're starting game two, isn't it?
I love it. That's great.
So there's no lack of confidence there. So really good conversation, really good stuff on Bubba Chandler. And you guys can now stream live MLB games through FanDuel Sports Network. If you use the promo code Baseball30, that's Baseball30, you can start it off with a 30-day extended free trial at FanDuelSportsNetwork.com/packages. Those teams include the Atlanta Braves, Detroit Tigers, Kansas City Royals, Los Angeles Angels, Marlins, Brewers, Cardinals, Rays, and the Reds when we're talking about Hunter Green. Hey, that expires on May 2nd of this year. It's $19.99 per month after your free trial. You can cancel during the free trial to avoid charges. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit FanDuelSportsNetwork.com for details. So, Carlos, thank you so much for all the insight on the mock draft. Make sure you guys go check that out. And Bubba Chandler, and I know that we'll see you here soon. But right now, we got to go back to school. All right, so now we bring in Jacob Rudner, getting ready to talk some college baseball. There is plenty to talk about in that college baseball world. Starting out, we've just talked about the mock draft. There is a number one there that we just discussed. And now let's talk about the new number one in the college top 25. They made their way up all the way from number two. And that's Texas. We haven't seen a jump like that before. Yeah, so Texas taking over the number one spot, a new number one each of the last 3 weeks. This is the fourth number one team of the year. You can put all the SEC teams in a hat and just draw a name out, and that'll give you that week's number one pick. But for Texas, they got the weekend series victory at Kentucky. Also got some help from Arkansas losing to Georgia. So, Jacob, we can look at those series results and understand the reason of the jump, but what in your mind makes Texas deserving of that number one spot?
Yeah, I've been really impressed throughout this entire season with just the roster makeup and what Jim Schlossnagel has been able to do with that team in his first year with the program. It's an incredible blend of high school recruiting, transfer recruiting, and something that's really important in today's day and age of college sports, which is re-recruiting the players that were on the roster already. He had to come in and basically convince guys that we're going to win a lot of games and you're going to want to be a part of this. And they had a lot of success. Jalen Flores, Will Gasparino, Rylan Galvan are all guys who are having fantastic seasons in return. Luke Harrison, the same on the mound. And then the transferring, like I talked about, has been really impressive too. Jared Spencer, Ruger Riojas are number one and number three in their starting rotation. Spencer came from Indiana State, Riojas from UTSA. Ethan Mendoza, their starting second baseman and leader in batting average, was a transfer from Arizona State. And then you look at the pedigree of a guy like Jim Schlossnagel. He's had one losing season in his last 23 years as a Division I head coach, and the winning has followed. So certainly an impressive, you know, roster makeup for that group. Schlossnagel is a very impressive coach, and the record, of course, you know, has propelled them to that number one spot.
So, Jacob, this is the third different number one we've had in the past 3 weeks. What are the chances that Texas kind of holds on to this for a little while, or looking at their schedule kind of ahead, you know, they've got some pretty tough battles coming up as well. Is there a pretty decent chance that we're going to see some further shuffling of this over the next few weeks?
You know, I would say so. And I'm hard pressed to believe that we won't, just given the track record over the last couple of weeks. Kelsey said, we've had three new number one teams in 3 weeks. It was Arkansas last week, Tennessee the week before that. And who knows what it's going to be next week. You know, Texas has a real challenge with number seven Auburn coming to town this week. And you know, like we've talked about, I mean, we could see Auburn make a jump from number seven all the way up to that number one spot. In the SEC, nothing is given. We have learned and probably already knew that that conference is a real gauntlet, and guaranteeing wins, there's no such thing. So, you know, I would think that Texas has the chops to be able to stay at the top of our rankings right now, and they've certainly done enough to get to that point. We look at them as one of the top five projected seeds for the NCAA tournament in a couple months. But the reality is that it's very unpredictable, especially in that conference. And they have a really tough week ahead and more after that.
Yeah, Auburn coming up next. That's going to be a big test, like you just said. So talking about Jim Schlossnagel, let's talk about his former team in Texas A&M. Are they back? I mean, we've seen two of three out of from Tennessee at Tennessee, who was ranked number one at the time. They went on and they swept South Carolina. We're going to learn a lot in these next two series. But for a team that came into the season ranked number one in the preseason polls, have these last two series convinced you guys that the talent is there and the success can be there the rest of the season? Or are you depending on these next two big tests to really solidify what A&M could be the rest of the year?
You know, I think both things can be true. I think we've said all along that Texas A&M has one of the most talented, if not the most talented roster in all of college baseball. You've got a guy like Jace Lavoillette leading, you know, your lineup. They have a starting rotation of all draft guys. Ryan Prager, Justin Lamkin, Miles Patton have all impressed so far this season. It hasn't necessarily been the easiest go for them in the last couple weeks, but they continue to win games. But I do still think that we need to see more. I mean, they have a series against the former number one Arkansas this week where I think we're going to learn a lot. But, you know, the numbers look really good right now. They started out the season 10-9 and fell out of the top 25 after week five, which was one of the worst starts by a preseason number one, you know, really this century and dating back to about 1999 when USC had a tough go after opening the season as number one. Since then, things have looked a lot better, though. 10-6 over their last 16 games, 7-3 over their last 10. They're very importantly up to number 49 in RPI and 18th in total home runs on the season. They're just outside the top 50 in scoring offense. So, you know, I think that we're seeing signs that they could be breaking out of that early season slump. You know, coaching change and all the movement that they've had around that program could certainly be a factor. And perhaps now they're just shaking the rust off. And I think that we could eventually see Texas A&M reach the postseason. They're 6-9 right now in the SEC. 13 wins is kind of the generally accepted threshold to get into the NCAA tournament. And I do think that Texas A&M has what it takes to get there. It will not be easy. They have a series at Arkansas, like I said, at Texas, home versus LSU, home versus Missouri, and at Georgia. I just named four teams that have at some point been ranked inside our top five. So the test is going to be is real, but I think it's a really good team with a lot of talent.
But I do want to also bring up with that you have a story up today at baseballamerica.com that kind of lays out that the SEC is trying to make the case, hey, okay, 13? Great. Yeah, that if someone gets 13 wins in the SEC, absolutely they should be in. But the SEC is kind of using basketball to kind of make the case that maybe it shouldn't be that, you know, that hard. Like conference losses shouldn't count the same way. Is that kind of the case that's starting to be laid out there?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, I spoke with an SEC official who has conversations regularly with coaches, and he was saying that they're hopeful that March Madness set a really good precedent for their baseball programs. 14 of the 16 teams reached that field. They think that there should be similar results on the baseball side, too. They have a lot of really talented teams. And like I was told, there's kind of a cannibalization issue in the SEC where you have good teams beating up on good teams and somebody has to lose the game. So, you know, when you have these top 25 teams constantly facing each other, the results are going to be messy. There will be teams that make the postseason that have under 500 conference records. But we saw just last year that that really isn't indicative of where teams stake out in the national scene. Florida made the NCAA tournament at 13-17 overall in conference and just two games above 500 overall, which is barely even legally able to get into the tournament. And they went all the way to Omaha. So the SEC harbors a lot of great teams. And I think that certainly, you know, this could be another year where we have some squads that don't have the shiniest overall or conference records, but are talented enough to do a lot of damage in the postseason.
You can stream live MLB games through the FanDuel Sports Network. And if you use promo code BASEBALL30, you can start it off with a 30-day extended free trial at FanDuelSportsNetwork.com/packages. You can see teams including the Tigers, the Braves, the Royals, the Angels, the Marlins, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Rays, and the Reds. Offer expires 5/2/25, $19.99 a month after the free trial. Cancel during your free trial to avoid any charges. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit FanDuelSportsNetwork.com for details.
Great conversations today. There were so many different levels of baseball to cover. That was super fun. Thank you guys so much for letting me join you today. And make sure if you guys are watching live or watching after this has aired, make sure you like and share the video and subscribe to Baseball America. one of the best areas that you can get any baseball information. And make sure you check out all of our prospect coverage on the Baseball America YouTube channel, the BA website, and of course on the Foul Territory YouTube channel as well. So guys, thank you so much for the great conversation today. And thank you so much for having me. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, Kelsey.